Irreverent, entertaining, cool. You're listening to LA Talk Radio.
You're listening to Question Reality with Priscilla Leona, right here on LA Talk Radio.
Hello, and welcome to Question Reality. Got my little cheat sheet here. Just rewrote my intro, so I got to read it because I'm terrible at memorizing lines. Hello, and welcome. Didn't I say that? I'm having deja vu.
Yeah, you did.
Welcome to the Question Reality radio show. I'm Priscilla Leona, producer and host, and we are coming to you live, because we're living live from Los Angeles. And for 11 years, we have been providing our audience with entertainment industry career advice. Now, this show is for you if you are questioning your career reality. Are you?
I question everything.
Yeah. Mm. And thinking about pursuing a career in the entertainment industry, or if you're already working in the entertainment industry and are just interested in tips on how to elevate your career status. The guests on our show include Emmy winners, Grammy winners, Tony Award winners, reality TV stars, working professionals, including producers and directors and casting directors and talent managers and singers and comedians and writers and PR agents and publicists and screenwriters and soup supervisors. No, that's not right. Script supervisors. I'm sure there are soup supervisors working in the restaurant industry. Stunt people, celebrity makeup artists, entertainment lawyers, and the list continues. Now, if you missed any of our past shows, here are three ways that you can watch us or listen to us 24 hours a day. You can never get enough of Question Reality, in my opinion. I could be biased. Number one, go to our archive page, which is on the latalkradio.com website, and search for the title of our show, Question Reality. Number two, iTunes or Google Store. We're also on Stitcher.com under the podcast section. You can get the free mobile app, which is what I highly recommend you do. And you can get that on the App Store or Google Play Store. And I have a special request. So those are the three ways. But I have a special request. Please subscribe to our podcast via the Apple Podcast. So we want you to subscribe. Be a subscriber. It doesn't cost you anything. It's free. It's a free. No money. You get so much entertainment for free. Now, finally, if you want to be a guest on our show or refer someone to promote themselves, their products, or just give sage career advice, we are currently booking for 2020. We're booked all the way till June, but we're booking for June, July, August. Yeah, I think so. Not sure how the breakdown goes, but just go to the website and submit for consideration. Now, you have to go to the official website, which is questionrealityradioshow.com. Again, questionrealityradioshow.com. Not LA Talk Radio. That's where we air the show. You want to go to our official website and submit under the contact link. And that is it. That is it for the day. Yay, I got through this. I did not get one single applause. Oh. This is Albert. Albert is not on it today. Then you know, as we have every time we do. You are going to get it now. You are going to get it. Don't throw in extra stuff. Now, you know Albert. That's his main thing. So he wants to do more. He wants to push more buttons. But he is our recording engineer and also executive producer of this show. So you can't probably see him, but he's over there with his Washington, D.C. hat on, acting like it's winter in D.C. in L.A. Well, now, couple things. As you can see, we have someone sitting there who we're going to introduce in a couple minutes, but I have two little advertisements. Number one, Very important. Don't forget to watch the Grammys tonight. The Grammys. Because my friend Amy, I'm going to butcher her name. I told her I'm going to do it. Amy Hanaali, Hawaiian. She's Hawaiian. Is nominated for a Grammy for the Best Regional Roots Album entitled Kalawea Nui. See, I could pronounce that. That's the album title. And her cousin, my dear friend, his name is Micah, but his official name is Kamu Micah Kamahoali. Yes. And Micah also designed her dress. So when you see her tonight, Micah designed the dress. So they're at the Grammys, finally. It's been a long road getting there. We had a listening party for her at Jamie Foxx's house on December 27th. You were not able to come to that.
I heard Jamie Foxx was really upset about that, too.
No, he was not upset. He loved it. He was on his phone Instagramming it and taking pictures with everybody. And he was just, he loved it. He was having the great time. And we had like a luau party, so you got to see authentic Hawaiian dancers. And anyway, we got to hear one of the songs that is from her album. So fantastic, wonderful time. Finally, tonight's the night. I am not there. You ask why. I ask why too. But what is that saying? Ours is not to question why. Well, I'm questioning it, but that's all right. Maybe next time. Maybe, probably because I can't sing in tune. I will never get a Grammy, but I think I can ride on someone's coattails. I'm going to start looking. Now, second thing I want to talk about is very important to me because we are currently seeking screenwriters, okay? Please share this with everyone who's a screenwriter. We are looking for screenwriters who have powerful stories under 10 pages that revolve around a social bias incident and with the story unfolding from the victim's personal viewpoint. And the script will be purchased, produced, and of course, IMDb credits, blah, blah, blah. And it will become part of our series. Okay. The deadline is February the 1st. And let's see, if you have any questions, you can email me directly. But if you go on my Facebook page, Priscilla Leona, you'll see that I have it on there. And you can enter your script via the website at civildisobedienceseries.com. Civildisobedienceseries.com. And as you know, if you're familiar with my work, everything that we produce gets nominated for an award. I'm telling you. As a matter of fact, our film Turnover was nominated for four original songs for an Oscar this year under the independent film category. We did not make the short list, but we never expected to. They give it. I'm not going to say anything about the Grammys, but let's just say the movies that ended up in the short list were Frozen, Aladdin. Do all of these things have something in common? Yeah, they're studio produced. I don't think there were any independent films that made the cut, but that's okay. As Sally Field said, it's great to be nominated. Right, Alan?
I've never been nominated, I would assume. I'm still waiting to find out.
Okay, well, it's great to be nominated. This is our second independent film that we got nominated for an Oscar. The other one was with Michael Gross from Growing Pains. You remember that? He was the star of our movie.
He's in Tremors. He's in all the Tremors movies.
He's a cultural icon is what Michael Gross is. Yeah. And we did a movie with him years ago. We were nominated. And, of course, didn't make the shortlist. But that's all right. Let's talk about our guest who's going to be nominated for something, I'm sure, in the near future.
Get on those buttons, man.
He's not on the buttons.
I want a gong.
Yeah. No gong. He wants a gong. Okay. We're going to give him the gong instead of the stadium chair. Yeah.
And right. I want Mean Gene, the dancing machine, to come out here and do a thing.
Next time we're going to have that. So let's talk about our guest today. His name is Alan Matz. Pageant wave. Alan Matz is a writer. Okay. All right. Alan Matz is a writer, a director, a producer, an editor, and a photographer. And he spent 10 years working in commercial production, as well as 4 years writing and story editing animation. I did not know that, Alan Matz. And he's written and directed several music videos, spec commercials, and is currently working on his first feature film called Magic Hour. That might sound familiar because he was on our show before. Alan Matz just published his first work of fiction entitled Slippery When Wet. Now, you can go to his website. I think he's only on Facebook at Alan Matz, and it's spelled A-L-A-I. The French spelling, Alan Matz. And please give him a little finger, a little thumb. He likes that in his private time as well as publicly. So we all need that these days. That is how the world revolves. So please go to Facebook and follow him or like him. I don't know. Do you have a follow or like or a friend request?
I mean, you'd have to send me a friend request. I do have a photography page on Facebook that's public, and I have I just started a writing page on Facebook that's public.
Probably so should have given me those links.
You know what? I probably should have.
All right. So he's going to give them to me, and then I'll announce them next week or next time I do my show.
Yeah.
Now, let's get right into it.
Yes.
Alan Matz, Slippery When Wet.
Yeah.
Okay. The title, honestly, I'm sure you agree with me, it sounds very salacious, right? Which is my type of book. Okay, so just the way I look at the title, it doesn't look salacious because it's a car and there's like colors. So how did you come up with the title for the book?
Okay, so I the title actually initially came to me as a joke. So I had this idea that hit me in the head one day, and I thought it'd make a good idea for a film. So I called my buddy and I was like, hey, before I forget, here's this idea for a film I have. And he was like, okay. And I was like, yeah, I don't know. It's just this thing that strikes me as it'd be cool. And then I knew I wanted to do a story that took place in a short period of time that all took place in a car in a storm. There were other details to it, but I had this idea. So he was kind of like, well, I don't know, okay, whatever, man. And I was like, right, whatever. I just wanted to tell you so I wouldn't forget, you know? So I knew that, and then I was talking to a friend of mine, and the idea of writing a short story came up, and I was like, well, you know what? I have an idea for a short story. I have an idea for a story that I don't think would make a good long story. So I started kind of just thinking about it. And because it just took place in a car, because it took place in a storm, I kind of, as a joke, said, I'll just call it Slippery When Wet. And that was technically a placeholder. I thought for sure I'd come up with something else. And then I even made a post about it that I was going to start writing a short story called Slippery When Wet. But it just kind of stuck. You know, after a week or so, I realized I actually really liked the title. And I think it fits quite well.
Well, does it fit quite well? We don't know because we don't know what the book is about. Tell us, dear Alan Matz. First, show us. I don't know if I'm closer or not, but here it is. Slippery When Wet. Nice, shiny book cover. I don't know if you can see it. Maybe if I do this. And it is a gorgeous graphic. Did you do the graphic yourself? Because I know you do that, right?
I do not do anything like that.
Oh, you don't do
graphic
design?
No, I'm a uncoordinated monkey, so I can't do anything like that. The cover was actually designed by Anthony Cupo, who's also the producer and one of the editors of Magic Hour.
Okay, so what is the book about, Slippery When Wet, Alan Matz?
The idea that I initially had was I wanted to do a story about a serial killer who picks up a masochist hitchhiker, and they get into a really sort of brutal love romantic relationship in a car in 24 hours in a rainstorm.
It takes a certain type to like that.
So what I decided to do was I wanted to
You see where Alan's mind is. Look at this little pornography that was, shot we got here.
That was by Amy Kellner. She's an incredible illustrator.
Ah, I love it. Is that a scar there in the middle, or is that just the separation of her breastbone?
It's a wound.
A wound. Oh.
Yeah, it's a wound.
Hmm.
It's a very graphic story. What I decided I wanted to do, because it's completely outside of my comfort zone, I thought if I'm going to take this time and write a short story, and I only intended it to be a short story. I just wanted to see what it would do. It was kind of like I needed to get some creative stuff out. So I was just like, let's make an experiment. I'm going to write a short story. And in order to do, I wanted to do something outside of my comfort zone. So I decided to not just make it a thriller, which it is. I wanted to make it an erotic thriller. I'm good with violence. I can write violence. I can shoot violence. I love violence. I know violence. But the dirty stuff,
mm-hmm.
that's completely new to me.
Well, how did you get to that point? If that's new to you, where did you go to get the writing? I mean, how do you write for that if you don't know that character?
So I just... to be totally honest, I just went to the deepest, darkest reaches of where my mind would go and said, all right, if these two people are going to do this, how are they going to do it? If this is what this guy does to fulfill his fantasies, and what does this girl need to fulfill her fantasies? And the two of them, each, you know, one's a killer and one's a masochist. It's like, what happens when a killer meets a masochist? And they both want to get off.
Mm.
You know, so it's like... It's very, very romantic.
Well, what if you had to tell our audience what the most important thing you want to convey about this book to get them to go to Amazon and buy it, what message would that be? Why would they want to buy this book? Like, what if they're a church? Is this book for everyone, or do you have to be of a certain mentality?
Absolutely not for everyone. I did not write this for everyone. Probably, I think a lot of people might consider it offensive.
Ooh, I love it already.
But what is my message? I'll tell you exactly what my message is. My message is that true love exists and there is someone for everyone.
I like that.
Yeah,
a masochist finds love.
It is a very, very romantic story. If you ask me,
okay,
it is an incredibly romantic story.
Mm, I like that. Now, writing this book, are the experiences of the book based on someone you know or an experience you had back in the day when you were going to those bars with the hookers? I mean, where did you get
that? I tell you about the hookers last time I was here?
No, but I just kind of guessed.
So they're not directly related to any experiences I had because I'm incredibly boring.
Yes.
Mm-mm. Come on, we've hung out. You know this.
No.
I'm an incredibly boring person.
Mm.
They are experiences that I would probably like to have in a fantasy world, you know? I can tell you that a couple of the people who, as I was writing it, I showed them things and I wanted feedback, you know, in an early draft and everything. I did speak to a couple young women who read it. And they told me.
Must have used that as an excuse.
They told me that they were like, wow, this girl's like, it's like you were in my head. Like when I was this age, you were like, it's like the things she's thinking. You really got into her head. And I was just like, I mean, that's an incredible compliment. But I really just tried to think of the worst things I possibly could think of.
Well, that would be your millennials today. Did you learn anything about yourself while writing this book? Because a lot of writers tell me that they learned about things that they didn't even know they thought about.
I learned that I giggle like a child when I write dirty things.
Okay.
I learned that I like to use the same few words over and over again when describing genitalia.
Don't we all?
I don't. Yeah.
We do.
I learned that I'll tell you what I learned. I learned that I really enjoyed getting outside of my comfort zone as a writer. And it actually led me to, you know, some of the things I have now lined up that I want to write next, that I'm working on next.
Mm.
So the experiment in that sense worked.
Okay.
You know?
What? No, I'm looking at this cover, and I'm wait. Maybe I need to go inside. Okay, cover designed by illustration by. Okay, is this a? I don't see a publishing company. Is this self-published?
It is self-published.
Tell us about that. Okay. A lot of people want to know how do you self-publish?
So here's the thing.
Because it's so hard to get an agent these days.
Yeah, that's impossible. So here's the thing. That was part of the experiment too, because I, as a writer and doing films and short films and filming things, and you have to edit. It takes forever to get through things when you're doing it all yourself and when you're paying for everything yourself.
Yeah.
So I was kind of frustrated by that whole process, you know, that we're still working on Magic Hour. And what I thought was, I want to get something out creative that once I'm done writing it, it's done. You know, what do we, you know, I what can I do? And so publishing, self-publishing was part of the experiment. So I did it the easiest way, which is just through Amazon. There are other, you know, more do-it-yourself tools that you can use and stuff, but I didn't want to mess with any of that. So the process for self-publishing on Amazon is incredibly simple. They make it super, super, super easy.
How so?
You basically just, you create an account, you go to their self-publishing page, and you click the boxes you need to click for what kind of story it is, the market you're looking for, and you use their template design thing to create the layout from your manuscript. You import it into theirs, and you just the ebook is super easy. All you have to do is upload a JPEG for the cover, because it's an ebook. And then if you want to do a paperback, you it's a little more complicated. You have to format things properly, DPIs, all that kind of garbage that I don't know. That's why Anthony helped me. And you just load everything up. They review it, and if everything's cool, you go live.
Okay, yeah. So you said something, if everything, because I was wondering, doesn't anybody proofread it? Because, you know, a lot of being a first-time writer, there are lots of things that you need to know about writing that sometimes a first-time writer does not know.
Yeah.
So my question is, did you get informed by Amazon that, hey, we're going to be proofreading your book, or we're going to be doing this and that and this and this and this, and if it meets that criteria, then we'll publish you? Or did they just...
No, they just put it up there. The review process, they said, could take up to 72 hours, and I put it in figuring it would take a couple days, and I think an hour later, both of them said, you're live. They're only reviewing
it. I'm wondering if they're reviewing it.
No, I think they only review it for technical reasons. Just to make sure that there's not going to be things. But your point about proofread. So I did not have this book proofread. I had people give me notes.
Are you kidding?
So here's a fun fact. Here's a fun fact. This book apparently has a bunch of typos in it.
Oh.
But I'm not so concerned, because here's the thing, guys. At some point, maybe in the next few weeks, maybe in the next few months, I will correct it and I will post the second edition available on Amazon.
Okay.
But this will then become a collector's item. This is the one you're going to want. This is the one with all the bad garbage in it. This is the one with typos. And some of the typos, I think, are from importing the manuscript into Amazon's thing. Mm. Like spaces, you know, they're not necessarily like spelling errors. But and then a couple things just, you know, I missed because autocorrect turned it from one thing into another thing. I'm terrible with that kind of stuff.
They don't have any kind of thing that denies autocorrect.
No,
because that could be a plus for some, but most of the time it's not a good thing when it autocorrects.
I didn't get
anything back that said you don't have to correct this, or
no, it'll tell you. It'll tell you if it catches a spelling error.
Oh, okay.
But if it's auto-corrected to a correct word, it doesn't flag
okay.
it. So anyway, yes, there are typos.
So it's,
there's problems.
Wow.
This is the one you're going to want, though, because 20 years from now, this is the one that's going to be worth
but
something.
But did you have anyone proofread it? Like, did you usually people...
Well, so I had people read the first draft to give me notes, and some of them caught some things, and some of them told me, hey, here's a problem, here's a typo. Okay. And I would correct that, but, you know, they were reading it to give me story...
Okay.
Feedback. And
so all of the parallel phrasing, the grammatical choices, that's all you.
Yeah.
All right. We're going to, I think people who are English teachers or professors, you should read it just so you can get the red pen and go in it and then send it to Alan.
I think you should. In fact, you should buy it for the whole class.
Right.
Buy 20 copies for a class.
Perfect. And say, let's see how many errors we can find in the book.
Exactly.
And then you get free proofreading.
And this is why. This is why my Facebook page that I created for my writing and for other people to share writing stuff is on Facebook as The Bad Writer.
I love it. See, anybody can write a damn book.
Yeah, who cares?
Alan has just said, you write it, you put it on Amazon. They don't care.
They did the same thing for Star Trek. Remember, they added the CGI 20, 30 years later.
Yeah, that's right. Well, seeing that, people, Alan is an inspiration to you. If you want to be a writer, my God, Alan did it.
That's right. Nice talk.
Amazon took it, and you're going to make money, right?
A little. I mean, it's not. It's the.
This well, people will, are going to buy it.
Yeah, I want. You know, the idea is to start building a library of things I've written.
So this is available on Amazon as Kindle, and I still honestly don't know what the hell Kindle is. I don't know. I've never even heard. What is Kindle?
It's an app. You download.
Oh, so you
e-books.
Download an app and
then you just read it on your tablet.
Oh, you read it. What about when people can? That would be an
e-book
where someone would narrate it.
No, that would be an audiobook.
Audiobook.
Yeah.
Do you have plans for that?
I was thinking of doing a live read.
Yeah.
Having some people.
That way you
don't, I want to do it total masterpiece theater style.
You can bypass the grammatical errors and spelling errors by doing an audiobook,
right? That's right.
You should do it. Oh, but yeah, a lot of people don't think about this, and I would like to address that to people who are writing, to encourage you to do more of your books as audiobooks for people who are hearing impaired. A lot of people don't get the benefit of being able to read because they're blind and they can't read a book and it's not transcribed as anything else. So doing an audiobook does help a lot of people who may want to read your book. So consider that, Alan Matz. Consider. You want a big audience. Okay, so you got the book up there, and then what's the next process for them to say, okay, when people buy it, so how does what happens on your end when a person, so they put it up there, and what do they say, give me your credit card information so we can, how do they, if people buy it, do you get the money?
So my account, when you set up your account, you attach it to bank information,
okay,
right? And then it's really simple. I mean, Amazon knows we're all a bunch of idiots out here. So if they want to be a part of this and make money by people selling books on their page, they got to make it really easy to understand. So you just, you put in your bank information.
And then when people buy, they just, do you get the money right away or do you have to wait?
I haven't gotten any money yet. And I should probably look into that. Not that I've made a ton of money, but it's, I think at some point it's incremental. It's not like every time a book gets sold.
So they do
sold,
it once every
Every couple
month
of months or something
okay.
like that. Yeah.
Well, that sounds really simple, Alan Matz.
It is, yeah.
Everybody needs to write a book.
I agree.
Forget about the grammatical and spelling errors. Alan's going to be getting a bunch of money.
Hey,
what the hell?
If the story's
good.
He can
hire a proofreader, right?
Well, yeah. And for the next books, people have offered to help me. And I'm like, we will do that.
And you need me to. I excelled in English. As a matter of fact, I know this sounds very petty, but when people send me a text or an email, I cannot read it without correcting it. Isn't that weird? I can't do it. I excelled in English. I got A++++. And people are like, oh, you should be an English professor. No, but I do appreciate a well-written email.
Yeah.
If I get an email and there are so many typos and grammatical, I'll delete it. I know that's a sickness I have, but I will delete it. Delete, delete, delete.
That's why I don't send your emails. you wouldn't even look at them.
Your text survive, right? Okay, so a lot of people say when they're a writer that they get writer's block.
Yeah.
Do you believe in writer's block? And if so, did you get writer's block? And what does it feel like?
It does. It's a thing. It's absolutely a thing because when you are creating, sometimes things make sense. When I wrote Slippery When Wet, it flew. I knew exactly what I wanted to do. I knew what the story was. I knew how I wanted the characters to be. And I didn't have any problems whatsoever.
Mm.
The one that I'm writing now, it was a totally different story because I had an idea, I had a title, and I knew what I wanted the character to do, but I didn't have a story. So now I had to, like, I was kind of doing things backwards. You know, usually you come up with the story idea, you're like, hey, here, you know what would be a cool story? Which is what I had for that. Now, so as I'm writing the new one, yes, I've had writer's block a few times. I'm
what
still
does it
kind
feel
of
like when you have writer's block?
It's incredibly frustrating. Because
what do? You just can't.
You get to a point, either it's because you can't start or you've gotten started and you liked where things were going, and then you get to a point and you're just like, well, what I thought would happen next it's not working for me now, right? So what am I going to do next? And you have to try and figure out what's going to happen next. Yeah. And sometimes, you know, you went into that story with this whole particular idea set up, and then when that idea, or it doesn't work because you just don't like it anymore, or because you made some changes in the beginning because they were for the better, they've now altered how things are going to work down the line. So you're kind of like, well, now what I wanted to happen isn't going to happen. So how am I going to, it's going in a different direction organically. What do I do? And sometimes it's just really hard.
What inspirational advice do you have for people who are new writers who get the writer's block? I mean, what do you do? Because you don't have experience to say, okay, I know I got writer's block. This is what I'm going to do to get out of my funk.
Well, first of all, I don't think there's any one way to get out of writer's block. I don't think being a 40-year veteran of writing, like if Stephen King were to get writer's block.
I'm sure he has.
And I'm sure he's just like, I don't know. For me, what works is I got to stop thinking about it. Mm-hmm. I got to let my mind go on to something else. I got to not focus on what I'm doing and focus on something else and just kind of forget about where I was, and either somewhere else I'll be driving, I'll be working, whatever it is I'm doing, I'll be like, I got an idea. And then I got to
pull over on the side of the road. Yeah. Yes.
And then I'll go back to it.
Now, have you submitted to your book to places where you would get a critique? Say they're like, I don't know.
I mean,
there are people, critics who read books and give critiques, but you haven't submitted.
Done anything like that.
Or you haven't promoted it to that point.
It came out. I released it January 1st.
Well, then we'll say, what are readers, what are people saying about it then overall?
Okay. Honestly. Excluding the grammatical typos.
Yes. Excluding our typos.
Obviously most of the people who have purchased the book so far are people who know me. And want to support me.
Mm-hmm. So they're going to say, oh my God, it's so great, Alan.
No, that's the thing. They're not going to say that.
Oh, good.
Because I've been very, very clear with people. Don't tell me you like it.
Yeah.
If you don't like it. I can take it. I know this is not for everybody. I didn't write this for everybody. And if y'all love this, then you're all
that's
twisted
right.
in the head, okay?
Yeah.
And so I know, generally speaking, the feedback that I have gotten has been very positive. People do really seem to like it. People who tell me that they don't read, they found it to be a super quick read. I mean, it's not long. So the general consensus is it's a fun, quick, entertaining read.
Fun and quick. Yet we remember what he said about who the characters were earlier. I'm wondering how it's tying in. So you're going to have to read it.
Yeah.
Fun.
No, it's fun.
Masochist murderer. Fun. I love it. You're twisting us up. Yeah. I like it.
The goal is to make people hate that they're loving it.
Oh, hate that they're loving it.
And hopefully it'll make them go home and masturbate.
Oh my God, he's so sick. Now, you know I am total Christian girl. Don't like that. No. I got so many questions. I don't know what to. I know you as a filmmaker because of Magic Hour. By the way, how's Magic Hour coming along?
It's coming along very slowly. We are still dealing with editing. We've had technical issues with computers that were the computers we were editing on.
By the way.
Show him the hat, man.
Albert, are you getting good stills of Alan? Because I see you videotape. Are you using the pop? The pop? Because we got to give them pop. Oh my gosh. It's Albert, and don't you dare say I'm lying either, because I don't lie. One. Two, he has 6 phones. And he has now bought his latest phone, which is the Moto Z, and it requires some sort of pods where you snap them on the back. So I'm like, shoot Alan with the pop app.
Oh my gosh.
And when you see the pictures, you'll know why. And then we're going to put, and this is really going to work well with the Pop app, because look at the colors, how they pop. We want to take a picture of that. I assume that this is my copy, but it is not autographed. We're going to do that afterwards.
I didn't want to be presumptuous, but of course.
We're going to autograph it. I was asking about Magic Hour. We briefly addressed that. He wrote his, I believe, first film?
Feature film, yeah.
First feature film, which was Magic Hour. He was on our show a couple years ago. And
first one I wrote that I'm also directing.
Right. Yeah. And this is a situation where you're still editing, you just said?
Yeah.
Or?
So just from life, you know, we all have day jobs. Again, you know, one thing we talked about back then was that when you're dealing with an independent film and you're doing everything yourself, you're not beholden to studios, but you also don't have the money.
Right.
So you have to do everything yourself. So, right. You know, we all have day jobs. We all have families. My computer kind of crapped out. One of the other, Cute Rustin's computer wasn't able to process things. So Anthony Cupo, the producer back in New Jersey, he was trying to, you know, do things, but, you know, he also works hard. So it's just been a question of finding time. It does look like we may finally have our technical issues resolved soon. So hopefully we can get
the
back
computer
on
technical
yeah,
issues.
The computer
what was
stuff.
The main problem? May I ask?
Well, mine is just an old computer, and it was no longer able to process it didn't have a processor fast enough for the software we need. Basically, you know, we're just dealing with old stuff, and it was just kind of like falling apart.
But did you buy a new computer?
Or? I didn't, but Rustin did. So hopefully. And he says hi, by the way.
Where is my sexy rustic Rustin? Where is he? He's scared of me. He's scared of me. That's why he's not here today. I think the last time he was on the show, I got too handsy with him, as I do with any good-looking man. So now he's scared of me. He runs away. Christian my ass. I wasn't Christian.
So anyway, we're still working on it.
Good.
We haven't given up. But again, that's part of the reason I wanted to do this.
I've asked you, how can I help you?
Well, write me a big fat check.
Oh my God. How much could it possibly take? Because editing, you do editing.
I do. But so, like I said, I couldn't do it on my computer anymore because my
So if you get
out a
computer, then you should breeze through it because of the editing. You already know how to do it.
That's
so
true.
Right?
Yeah.
So then I expect it next week, right?
Okay.
Okay. So the needs of your audience vary depending on the type of the book, right? Mm. So a book on poetry speaks to a different set of needs than a book on engineering, or a picture book addresses different needs than a workbook. And et cetera, et cetera. So my question is, whose needs, I hate to ask this, you know what he's going to say, whose needs will you satisfy with this book?
Perverts.
Oh, I knew he was going to say perverts. I knew it. But is there any other audience member? Because now you're like, oh my God, I'm not a pervert, so I don't want to buy the book because it's too perverted.
Okay,
is there anything else? You said romance,
yes,
right?
Okay. All right. Yeah. Okay.
I'm trying to get like a wide audience to buy the book.
Okay. If you like romance, if you like non-traditional romance, if you like violence, if
who
you
likes
like
violence? Oh,
who doesn't like
sorry.
Violence?
I forgot my audience. I am watching a show called Extreme Love right now.
Well, that sounds exactly like the same sort of thing.
Yeah. So maybe. All right. Go ahead.
if you like the truth of it is, I wrote this again for me to see if I could do it. And I figured it would find its own audience. I don't know people who read trashy sex stories. You know, I know I like violence, but I don't know what other people like. You know, I think as a writer in general, regardless of what style of writing it is, screenplay, novels, short stories, poetry, or whatever it is, I think the way it works best is you write what you think, what you would like. I know there are other people out there who say differently, but for me anyway, I write what I think I would like and hope that it finds its audience. Obviously, yeah, if you're trying to write something for the mass public, you know you have to fall within a certain range of subject matter and things. But I didn't do that for the mass audience.
Speaking of, we want to hear a little bit from the writer's mouth. So I had asked him to read a little bit of his book. I don't see that you have anything like tabbed.
I know where it is.
Oh, you do? All right. So we're going to have him read a little bit out of Slippery When Wet.
All right, look.
Just a little bit.
It was difficult for me.
Set us up. What are we going to be hearing? What has happened before? Give us the backstory a little bit on that passage.
Okay.
I asked too much.
Okay, so the main characters are Glenn and Lauren. Glenn is the driver. He has picked up Lauren, a young, beautiful woman. And, I mean, I guess I can just put stuff out there. Glenn had a woman in the trunk of his car who he had to dispatch of because... She started making some noises, and he was afraid, now that I got a witness in the car, I got to take care of business. Mm. What Glenn doesn't know is that while he was choking this woman in the trunk of the car, it was turning Lauren on. Because she could kind of see it happening.
Oh, because she knew.
She's in the car, and she sees...
So
like
he had already picked her up.
She doesn't know. She finds out now that there's a woman in the trunk of the car, and she can see... Through the back window.
But Lauren's the hitchhiker. Yes. So he had already picked her up. They're driving. There's noises coming out of the trunk. Yeah. He pulls over. He goes to the trunk.
And starts strangling a woman.
Okay.
And Lauren catches on to what he's doing.
Okay.
But it's turning her on. It's not freaking her out. So he gets in the car and he can kind of tell that she might know that she knows.
Okay.
So here's my passage.
So and I want you to read it with feeling. Yeah, You're going to now be an actor, damn it. Go ahead, Alan.
We can do this. Lauren can sense Glenn has something on his mind. She knows he is onto her. Is he going to kill her? Torture her? She knows she should be terrified, but her heart is not racing with fear. It's racing with lust. What would he think if he knew who she really was? Would it change his plans for her? Her questions are relentless, almost as relentless as the tingling between her legs.
Mm-mm.
Call me, ladies.
Uh-huh. Stop it. Alan Matz, who I always looked upon as a Sunday churchgoer.
Perverts. Perverts.
Perverts. Reunite here. Wow, that's really interesting. I think you definitely have an audience for this. Who are you, speaking of audience, who are you going to target the book to? Like, are you going to set up your own promo tour? Like, are you going to go do book signings or something?
I have no idea how to do any of that. I can ask people who do know. Amazon, because of the nature of the book, because it's adult, I can't promote it on Amazon.
Oh, what?
Yeah, because it's dirty garbage. They don't, you know, if it was a family book or a regular story.
Then what would they do?
You have an option to use Amazon's promotional tools. And I don't know.
That's something that the audience would want to know.
There are things you can do to like boost your ads on Amazon and stuff.
Oh.
But because this is filth and trash, I can't do that. I can't do that.
You mean they put it in a certain category and they tell you
your book is an adult book, not adult because it's...
So they'll sell it and take a percentage.
Yeah, they'll take a piece of porn, but they won't let you... they'll hide it. It's their dirty little secret.
Oh my gosh, wow.
So I have to do all that myself. So I mean, I pimp it out on Facebook. Anthony made a short video promo for it that you might have seen on Facebook. I kind of showed, I throw it up there every once in a while. It was a really cool little like 25 second video of the cover.
Mm-hmm.
A couple quick reviews flash. I got this great song called Dance of Death playing by Cancer Slug on it. And they were cool enough to...
they let you use it.
Yeah, I told him, I was like, hey, is it cool if I do this? And he's actually letting me use music in Magic Hour 2. So shout out to Cancer Slug. And So I'm kind of pushing that. I push it on my Facebook page. I push it on my Instagram page. You know, sometimes people who have bought it have, you know, posted pictures of them with the book, sharing it, you know, saying, hey, I just got it. You know, I ask everybody, if you do read it, to please post an Amazon review, because you can put reviews up there.
Are they going to post the reviews?
I've only seen a few so far, and I hope people do, and I hope people post.
But they allow it, even though it's in the adult category.
Yeah, I think it actually pops up that picture of my book shows up next to another book called Slippery When Wet, which I believe is homosexual pornography.
Okay.
Which is totally cool. I mean, I think that's my book is up there in good company.
That's
but
right.
Just make sure you buy the right one if you're trying to support me.
Oh, yeah. That's right. Yeah.
But I want reviews up there, but I also want bad reviews. If people don't like it, like I don't want my book to be up there and have just five star reviews,
like,
and then it's like, okay, these are just his friends.
Yeah,
that doesn't help me. I want people to see legitimate reviews, and if somebody hates it, I tell everybody, please post an awful review, because awful reviews will probably push people to be curious about it more than a good review.
We're gonna do the awful reviews. Even if we like it, we're gonna do awful reviews to help you.
Help me sell books by telling everybody how awful it is.
Help him post an awful review. Oh my gosh! So you obviously didn't do this because you have plans on becoming a writer per se, did you? Did you do it just for
it kickstarted something in me where I think that as a filmmaker, because things are so slow, because since 2018 I'm still working on Magic Hour.
Yeah.
This is an incredible creative outlet for me that I didn't know was a thing.
Yeah.
And like I said, I do have other books. I'm working on another short one, which I hope, if it's good, I'm intending it to kind of be a short novella series. It's called Neon Vampire, and it takes place in the 80s about a vampire.
I'm there already. Vampire 80s. That's half of my love lust.
I'm going to fill it with trash and violence, too. So this is an erotic thriller. Neon Vampire is going to be an erotic horror sort of action-y story.
I like it.
Yeah. I'm pretty happy with it so far.
Is it going to be a short like this
yeah.
size?
It's going to be whatever it is. Okay. I just meant to be a short story, and I found out by the time I was done with it that based on word count, it fit well into the novella category. Okay. I didn't try to write a novella, but it just ended up that way. So I think it'll probably be the same. I don't want to take too much time on it. I just want to kind of like create these fun stories and see if people like them. And I'm also starting a work of nonfiction about basically over the course of 2019, myself and some friends and people I know from all over the world, we traveled around the country to see a band play, the original Misfits, 70s punk rock band that we all love. And they kind of had these reunion shows going on. And I want to write a work of nonfiction about why that was important to us. Why do we do this stupid thing, like travel across the country to go see a band play, you know, like, and who we met and what it means to them and why it was important to them. And it's actually going to be a really personal story because it has a lot of personal meaning to me. So I'm actually super excited to write that.
Did you videotape it? I mean, did you do it like, maybe you could do a documentary too? Did you videotape all your experiences? Or
Between everybody I know, there's a lot of video and a lot of footage.
Maybe you could turn that in a documentary.
And a lot of the people that I know are, I ask them, you know, do other of you guys want to be involved? And, you know, you can share your stories and pictures and all that stuff. So once I'm done with this first Neon Vampire book, I want to work on that.
I see that as a documentary. That's hot right now, doing things like that.
Yeah. I mean, maybe. But again, filming.
Because with documentaries, I mean, it's not as like Magic Hour where you got to do so much specific stuff. With documentaries, you can just show whatever the heck you, sort of like how you wrote it, right? Mm. You just do it. It doesn't have to be in so much of a certain format. I'm going to say artistic because I wanted to cover filmmaking and writing.
Yeah.
What is your artistic kryptonite? Do you see the questions I ask? This is not the only person who is stumped with my questions. I was meant to write interview questions. I come up with these questions and people after the show, they're like, oh, I must have looked like an idiot. I just sat there. I didn't know what to say or what to do. I'm like, and that's why That's why I come up with these questions. Well, you know why I ask that? Because a lot of people, when they're either making a film or writing or doing whatever they're doing artistically, they go, oh no, this is going to take me down. For example, Magic Hour.
Yeah.
The kryptonite seems to be money. Right? All right. You know what? Alan's going to get away with not answering what his kryptonite is.
I'll tell you what
time.
It is, and I'll let you think about it. It's stress.
Stress. Okay.
It's life stresses that get in the way.
Okay.
I'd much rather talk about being perverted in titties.
Okay. All right. So is that the 5-minute buzzer?
Actually late.
Oh, well, I guess I'm getting my answer. And that's not Albert. I don't know. I think that's Dina and they're gonging me. All right. She's got to go. So we're going to end this. All right. Well, Slippery When Wet by Alan Matz is now on Amazon.com for you to purchase. Please go to the website and purchase it. We want to thank you so much. So much for being
Mean Gene, the dancing machine better come in here.
I know. Thank you so much for being a guest on our show, okay? Bye. Say bye.
You're listening to Question Reality with Priscilla Leona right here on LA Talk Radio.